Welcome back to Sister Brunch. We're the only podcast that's building the largest archive of the stories of Black women and Black gender expansive people who are thriving in Hollywood and beyond, entertainment, media, all of the above. And we are doing it this season from this incredible studio. Our guest was just commenting on what a beautiful studio it is. And we're so proud to be with you, podcaster in Hollywood, this season. There's another reason that I am so excited tonight, which is we've got a couple of firsts this season. So you'll be hearing from Kelly Harris, who is a location manager. We've never had one of those on before. And we have tried, I am promising you, every single season to get a composer on the podcast. And we have finally done it. Shout out to Charlie Savage, our associate producer this season, who introduced us to our guest today. Welcome, Marie Douglas.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure. I'm honored to be the first composer to pop up on the scene, you know, bring some more through next year.
We're going to learn so much from you. And I think that's really, you know, a big part of what we want to do. One is to uplift you and let people know about who you are, but also educate our listeners, our viewers to understand what it takes to do what you do. So with that in mind, we're going to take you back to the beginning, as far back as you'd like to go. I've got some notes here on all that. You are an award-winning composer across the U.S. and Canada. So you are international. You blend classical, hip-hop, trap, spoken word, and electronic. You're going to do some spoken word for us tonight?
I'll speak.
Okay.
But it won't be the rhythmic.
Okay. All right. Well, we might bring you back. We might have to bring you back for that. You served as musical director for Live Nation's Big Femme Energy Live Experience, contributed to a Grammy-nominated album. We want to hear about that. You're an educator. Love myself some educators. I'm also a longtime teacher. Atlanta roots, born yes. and raised in Atlanta.
Raised, definitely born in Buffalo, but. Raised
Buffalo.
Since I was 3 years old. Never.
All right. Well, let's get into it then. So born in, you said in Buffalo.
Buffalo, New York. Okay. You know, born up there. Didn't ever really get to know it. My parents moved down to Atlanta and we never moved back, never looked back.
Okay.
You know, a lot to unpack with that probably. Mm-hmm. But I don't know the details. My parents know the lore, but they haven't told us yet. But But yeah, so spent my whole life in Atlanta and grew up in the metro area, a lot of different parts of the South Side and then within the city limits. And also, you know, just grew up as a kid outside playing and all that and feeling like the culture and growing up directly right up in it, you know.
Did you have a musical family or was it just more
you were? They love music, you know.
Yeah.
My parents, one thing they did instill in us is just this undying love for like music, for, you know, for production, for art, you know, just for doing something at a high level, creativity. My mom is super creative. She used to like make our clothes and stuff. I mean,
nice.
We didn't like them.
But you had to wear them. And I'll bet if you look back now, you're like, those weren't so bad. Or maybe
it's
not.
It's like, I commend her for it.
Yeah.
And I think it probably wasn't that bad. It just wasn't good for me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, oh yeah, she wasn't looking at me like, oh, this is going to be, you know, she was just like, let me try this right quick. But yeah, we, you know, she made clothes. She decorated the house however she could, you know, whenever, you know, she would make every place we lived in some kind of decent home as far as, you know, even if it's just putting potpourri up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she was just, she is extremely creative. And so that's kind of where the roots of my creativity come from.
Okay. And then was it, I mean, because composer, like we said, not only, I mean, a lot of people don't even know about composers, period. But to be a Black woman doing it, you didn't have role models, I'm imagining, right?
Not
so how did you, was it kind of like enjoying music first and then eventually realizing that you could do it for film and TV?
Well, my uncle played in the church, you know, so, you know, I had a lot of family down there in Georgia and we go to church and my uncle was, you know, one of the musicians I would see often, you know, in one of the churches we would go to.
What did he play?
Percussion, you know, keys, mm-hmm. you know, different things. And he would, you know, he told me you know, you got to learn how to read music or something. Like, he was like, don't let, you know, one day if you ever do music, don't let them take advantage of you, stuff like that. So that's where my mental, like, baseline comes from of kind of just my mindset as it relates to my approach to the field. But, like, going make sure I actually learn how to read music. Not just, I want to make beats. I just want to be a producer. But my uncle would say stuff like that, and it made me, like, take it more seriously.
Yeah. How did you start to learn how to read music? Like, did you take classes or?
Well, I was, I grew up in Atlanta. Like I said, I grew up outside. I grew up as an athlete. I grew up playing basketball around, you know, I was more known for that. Yeah. When I did go off to school, I was probably more known for basketball than I was for music. But at some point, they messed up my schedule at school. Uh-huh. And so, I was able to finally, like, get in band. But so I got in, you know, I just wandered into the band and they was like, why don't you join band? And nobody ever said that previously, right, when I was trying to join band. They were like, oh, we're full, we don't got no, da, da, da.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, this time I got lucky and that was kind of fate.
Did you already play an instrument or?
Didn't play a thing.
So when you joined the band, were they, how did they determine what you would play?
Well, I wanted to play like drums or, mm-hmm, horn. You know, my parents always listen to Earth, Wind & Fire and all those folks, so it's like,
yes,
you can't, you know, you can't not. That's really how I learned how to, you know, after I was given trumpet, because they were like, you know, nah, we got enough percussion, we got enough drums, like, everybody want to play drums.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, going home and taking that trumpet and kind of just playing, because my parents were just always, they always had these get-togethers, they always had these parties.
Amazing.
And they were always playing this music. And so I'm back there in the back just practicing, playing, mm-hmm, licks, you know, learn how to play high, learn how to scream on a trumpet, you know. So, but, you know, in places in the South, really, it's like an ecosystem. You can kind of just get an instrument in your hand, at least like a horn instrument,
like,
or something like that.
You feel like you're always surrounded by music, or, I mean, why is it, do you think, different?
Well, I think it is. You're always running around. It's like church is always going on. You know, if you're, you know, your parents, they had us in church all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We always have parades, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I was telling everybody, when we were speaking a little bit before.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking about how, you know, you take it for granted, kind of just the, what you have over there, the musical ecosystem, you know, there's all the cultural heritage going back to like second line bands and,
mm-hmm,
you know, street bands and things of that nature, yes, down in Louisiana. And then, you know, that just trickled all the way over through the South. And so we were surrounded by it, and you were just able to kind of just get an instrument in your hand if you were going to school, probably like in a public, mm-hmm, school system,
mm-hmm,
you know. So I was in every parade, ended up being drum major.
So we need pictures. We need videos.
I'll find a picture. Some pictures. My homeboy, his dad always was walking around with his camera.
Okay.
So okay. I'll see if he has any footage. Sometimes he just drops it on Facebook or whatever.
And you're like, oh, and I'm that like, was me. Reminiscing on it. Ugh. Okay, so then how do you go from doing that in high school, playing the trumpet, then being in the front, you know, leading things, and then you eventually end up here in LA. So what was that journey like?
I mean, the chance to lead like that, that my teacher took on me, as especially as a woman, you know, in the middle of the, right, South, you know, we have dancers and stuff like that. That's where I'm supposed to be. But, you know, as much as I love those, I love dancers, I love the whole culture, but that wasn't where I saw myself.
Mm.
And so I was grateful that he saw me there. And that's what started cultivating really my leadership abilities and not being afraid to go out in front and, you know, tell the folks what to do.
Mm-hmm. You
know?
Nice.
So went to college. I went to FAMU, Florida A&M, mm-hmm, University's HBCU down in Tallahassee, mm-hmm, Florida. Was lucky enough to march in the March 100.
Yes.
My second year there, I was thrust into leadership and was having to do things that definitely a second year and a woman in that scenario would not have been able to do.
Let's talk about, because at that point it wasn't just happened to be, right? Because that it was in high school when you were first getting started, but at that point you were doing things right for them to see a leader in you. What do you think you were doing?
Showing up.
That helped.
That's the number one thing, you know.
But it was more than that.
Showing up.
Other people were showing up. What else was it?
Showing up, practicing, you know, taking the craft seriously, you know. I use a lot of my athletic training to fuel my musical training because I wasn't getting private lessons. I wasn't, you know, necessarily being.
Right.
So that's what I used, you know, just kind of the repetition, you know, the things that were necessary in order to doing the same things over and over again until they became just like, you know, my right hand, you know.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So you're at
FAMU.
So you're at FAMU. You're running things. You're in the front. And then what happens? How do you end up here in LA?
Just happenstance, you know. Always wanted to do something like this, like I mentioned. I always wanted to compose, but I ended up getting on that Fame & Forward tour while I was working on my doctorate at University of Memphis.
What?
Wait, oh, that's Wait, not that's not
doctorate?
On the bio? Yeah, I have a doctorate in composition.
You have your, this was not in the bio. I need to be calling you doctor.
You don't have
what?
To do that.
Yes, I feel like I have to, Dr. Marie. At least Dr. Marie, yes.
I feel like.
That's amazing.
It's just not medical, and the world needs more medical doctors.
No, we need music.
I kid. I kid. But no, I appreciate that. You know, yes. I don't say it a lot because it's like, it doesn't really matter. It's really, you know, it's a great thing to have. It's really, it's given me so much. I've learned so much, but in a lot
like
of.
It demonstrates that commitment that you're talking about, the reason, right? The reason that they recognize that in you, you are so committed to this. And it, you know, I mean, I think when you love it and you, you know, have a passion for it, then sometimes it might feel easy, but to a whole lot of people, that is not, that is not.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't easy. It was some craziness. We can have another podcast about
yes,
that.
Okay. Next
like it was
season.
So much, you know. Yeah, it was a lot to do. And working at the same time through most of my degrees that I've done. So it's like
What did you plan to do when you were working on your PhD? Was it to eventually? I mean, were you thinking about composing for film and TV during that? Okay, so
yeah, as long as I've been like thinking about doing music, I've been wanting to do composing for film, being like Quincy Jones, being like John Williams, or you know, what have we. But it could be film. It's, you know, just anything. I tell folks all the time, you want me to depict the grass and the cows mooing, and I don't care what it is. We can write some music. I compose anything. But, you know, just in between, my husband got the job at USC as one of the directors of the marching band. And so,
okay. And so, wait, I got to hear. So was this like one of those love stories? Like y'all were in the band together?
FMU, yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's so sweet. I love it. What did he, so was he? What
he
did,
was the one up front. He was the one that was band. He was band president.
You took his job.
I didn't take
you
his job. I did. I wish. That would have been so fun because I, but no, I was just a section leader. I was leader of my, you know, you know, we did a lot of, they had, the FAMU band is something to explain. It is it is huge as far as training people for the entertainment industry and for, you know, teaching music ed jobs and things like that. Okay. It's a machine, it's a factory. So it's
FAMU,
like,
you y'all, like that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
So really, if this is something you want to do, that would be a good place to go.
It certainly would be, especially coming up out of the South. If you're looking for something that's close to your home, that's going to give you like some real world grit and experience, you know, and the audacity that you kind of might need to kind of do outlandish things if you're a risk taker.
Yeah.
It was a really great experience for that.
Okay.
But like, you know, in the band, you end up taking on these responsibilities because it's like a student run organization. You know, it's not a bunch of staff. It's an HBCU, so it's understaffed, actually. Mm. So students get a lot of chance to kind of do stuff. And so that's where a lot of the initiative that I've taken and experimentation that I've done and foresight comes from that. And, you know, knowing to go to further my education and keep going to school and stuff like that. You know, that's stuff that I garnered you know, kind of working with Wright FAMU, studying there.
All right. Let's talk about, so you worked on a Grammy nominated album. You worked with Live Nation. So either one of those or both, how did those things come to be?
Ooh, okay. So once again, my husband was working at LSU for a period of time as a director there, and they did an album with the Marching Band and some of the arrangements. They needed some folks to write some of those arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
The album ended up getting nominated for a Grammy, and it was really awesome. It was a great experience. This cat, Sean Ardwine, he's like I always forget how to say this. Zydeco is the name of the genre that he performs in, and it's really cool. You know, it sounds like old school rock and roll. You know, in the earlier.
Is it out of Louisiana? Is Zydeco from Louisiana? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And it's like, you know, it's a really cool thing. And for me, like, that's my thing. Like, I want to, you know, capture and make, you know, understand and just experience all of the musics that we brought forth as Africans you know.
The diaspora, right?
Like all of it.
Yes.
It compels
me. I mean, which
me.
Is pretty much all music, if you really
period.
Think about it, right? Yeah.
Like, period. And it's like, so that was something I couldn't turn down because of my philosophy, you know, wanting to help preserve those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I was lucky enough to get on that, and the rest is history, you know.
This is part of my question of having a composer here. I'm imagining it's mostly freelance, right? Like, you're not necessarily set up at a studio. You are going from project to project. So how do people find you? How do you find projects to be on?
I do a lot of real in-person relationship building. Go to conferences and seminars. Me having been a conductor, you know, active as a conductor, I hang around a bunch of conductors, people that need music, you know, and I'm always at, you know, I'm just always in the place wherever I can pop up and be.
Okay. So Hollywood. I mean, that's what you get. It really is. It's, you know, it's kind of age old story. But again, so are there like hangouts for composers in particular? Or is it really just, you know, kind of expanding your network to filmmakers, et cetera, to plant seeds with them? Right. It's like kind of all of the above.
All of the above. I mean, you just like everything that I've done has been like, oh, you were there and you said something about that you did music and then they took a chance on you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, kind of like lucky things that have occurred, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. This is the second time you say and just happened or lucky, but we know that's not
the... The preparation is one thing. So that's, you know, to be prepared to receive the lucky thing is the thing. So it's like, you know, that's where I believe is the biggest thing, you know, being prepared to even take on something when somebody...
Yes.
Luckily, somebody hit you up about some stuff, you know. But... I also, you know, I'm not downplaying my ability.
Yeah, okay.
It's a very unique skill set.
You know,
it's
that
something.
Part's not luck.
Yeah, that's not luck. I worked on this one here.
Yes. If you are enjoying this episode of Sister Brunch, you have got to join the whole community. And we are over here. All these conversations we have on Sister Brunch, you will be able to do this with us weekly, even daily on Patreon. So you can find us at patreon.com/sisterbrunch. You can join us for free. I mean, if you've got funds, we appreciate that too. You can have a monthly membership or join us for free. You're going to get behind the scenes. You're going to get some sneak peeks at episodes. We've got merch. We've got conversations going on over there that you can't see us having publicly, really. This is our place to really talk about all the things that we talked about at those original Sister Brunches in person. We are doing over on our Patreon, so join us there.
Hey, everybody. My name is Marie Douglas, and you are watching Sister Brunch.
Okay, so we have a segment on financials. And again, this is why I'm so curious about this role in particular, because... You know, we've had a lot of filmmakers that talk about like working at scale and understanding what the union fees are and what you can ask for. So is there anything, do you have a guild or a union? And then how do you know what you can charge?
There isn't necessarily something that protects composers. Mm-hmm. There's songwriters, like certain things like that, which you can join. And there are blurred lines as it relates to, you know, instrumental composer or person that's composing pieces versus someone who's literally writing songs for the industry to okay. consume and for, you know, for in a literal sense in that way.
Okay. But, okay. So actually, let's say that again, because so even just to define composer, it means different things, right? Mm-hmm. So one could be creating actual songs, or then there's other, like I think about John Williams. I mean, it's songs, but it's not lyrics, right. songs with lyrics, right? But so what, yeah, what are the kind of different kinds of composers you could be?
There's so many. There's like, you can get licensed for film, of course, but not mm-hmm. just to, film on the screen, on the big screen. There's, you know, TV film,
right?
You know, so commercials and mm-hmm. things like that. So, you know, there's, you can be a someone who writes strictly music in that way, and that's a very lucrative method, you know, getting your things licensed. Something that I do pretty often is just composer for hire in general. And then in that scenario, what protects me would be contracts.
Right.
You know, and in okay. any of these, you know, scenarios, like mm-hmm. you want to get something written down. You want to, you know, especially if it's not somebody that you're constantly already collaborating, y'all have a relationship, you know, it's definitely you want to get things written down so that things are defined and clear.
Yeah.
Yep. But and that's the biggest thing, you know. Okay. My mom taught me a lot about making sure that I was that
protected
we,
in that way. Yeah. Are you comfortable talking about, even if it's ballpark, like let's say someone approaches you to compose a feature film? Do you have a place where you would start in the negotiation? Would you say like, okay, you know, I don't take any lower than this, or if you don't want to say the amounts, what would factor into you deciding how much you would start with?
I guess what factors into me and my asking price is what you need,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what, because if you're needing something that you're not even coming close to the amount with the pay, then I know that you're going to have a hard time.
Right, because they say, oh, I need this, and here's how much I have, and those,
and if it's
two
too far
always,
off, then it's right. not going to work out, no right. matter how much I do right. to be nice to you.
Mm-hmm.
But feature film, as in, like, what's the budget of the feature film? That's, I mean, you know, I guess that would be the
okay.
biggest thing.
Okay.
Like,
what
are they working with? Because, mm-hmm. you know, I've seen people complain a lot right now about, you know, get the $1 million budget for the film. They're trying to pay the composer $5,000 or $2,000 or something
yep.
crappy.
Yep. Right.
You know,
right.
like that's not going to cut it.
Okay. Okay. So there's a price.
If it's $1 million for the film, 10 or so can be going to the music. If
okay.
you're trying to have.
Yes.
It depends on the genre of the film.
Okay.
If it's like a sci-fi film, that's going to cost a lot for you to make.
Okay. Okay.
So it's like, how much are you going to be able to donate? I mean, you know, put towards the music.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of music do you want on your sci-fi?
Mm-hmm.
Do you
mm-hmm.
want it to be that orchestra vibe like John Williams? Do you want the Hans Zimmer with the mix? You know, like, what do you want?
Yes.
You know, so all okay. of these things are factoring into what I'm going to say.
Okay, so that's good for filmmakers to know, too, when they approach you, is to already have in mind. So it's not when they first approach you and they're trying to get a price, then they need to say what they're looking for, what genre it is. Do they even tell you kind of what instruments they'd like in it? How does that part work?
Some people do, because some of them know, but a big part of, you know, being a composer for someone is decoding their language and what they mean.
Because
it's like they're saying something and you went and you learned all these theoretical words of how things are supposed to be said and blah, 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 blah. But somebody's like, I just want it to be like toot, toot right there. And you're supposed to say like, what? Like, right. You're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to figure that out.
Okay. And y'all, I'm remembering right now we have had a composer on. I was like, now that we're talking, first. I'm like, oh my gosh, Tamar Colley. She worked on Pariah. Oh my God. Because I remembered the financial question. And she said, closed mouth don't get fed. So she was like, and she was in a place where she could have her agent ask, right? And so obviously that's always nice too, to like put it off on somebody else.
Yes.
There was a long time where I didn't, you know, like when I was finally in a position to be able to negotiate a salary, and I made up an assistant who would email and say, here's what she wants, right? Because that way it's coming from somebody else. Someone else is the bad cop, but you need someone to advocate for you. So on that note too, are there agents that then advocate for your salaries, or are you really
kind of working? Some people are represented by, you know, the different, you know, entities. Personally, not yet.
Okay.
And maybe someday.
Okay. No, somebody. Oh, okay. So if y'all are listening, this is why we do this for real, right? Is like for exactly that reason. So you want representation. Obviously that doesn't hurt, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, because it is, I do, you know, like to do the freelance thing. So. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind somebody helping out with finding more freelance.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Here. I love
That'd
it.
That'd be awesome.
So now that I remember that you are our second composer and still in seven seasons, that's still not a lot. That's the thing. Really, at the start of every season, when we're talking about our guests, we're like, we have to get a composer, and it always feels so difficult. Which we don't have to tell you, because you know that you are one of the only ones. We want to make more. We want to make more. So this is our Let's Talk Tech segment. And the other thing I was remembering about when we had Tamar Colley on is she was talking about in Pariah, they use diagenetic music. And I was like, what is diagenetic? So that was hers, and we didn't even do a Let's Talk Tech segment at the time, but I was like, that's a perfect one. But do you have a term, you know, or even like a technical, you know, I don't know, an instrument, something like that, that somebody who's not a composer, who doesn't do music, especially in film and TV, if they hear that word or that thing, they don't know what it is?
A literal technical thing. They hear, maybe a doll. You know what a doll is?
No. How do you spell it?
DAW.
A doll. No, I do not know what a doll is. Oh, there we go.
So that's a digital audio workstation. Like,
okay.
You can. It's several of them. You got like Pro Tools. That's the most famous one. You probably heard of that. Was it Fruity Loops? It's probably called something else now. FL Studio is what that's called now.
Okay.
But I use Logic Pro.
Okay.
It's like an Apple software. You can buy it on Apple. But, you know, usually it comes with a few virtual instruments already inside of it that you can compose with it. It's really a spot where you can make demos. You can also, like, record into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a studio in a box.
So it's like a pro version of GarageBand, because I have heard Logic of GarageBand, right?
Not a good one. You know
it
about
for
it.
Free with the Apple Pro. No, I don't know. DAW. Is that a DAW? Is GarageBand?
GarageBand is a DAW. That's really the first DAW that I started on, like back in, like, I'm aging myself, dating myself, but like
you should. We should be proud of our ages.
2006, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I downloaded Fruity Loops on my brother's computer. Couldn't figure it out. It didn't make any sense to me. The X, Y axis was not making no sense. But later on, though, my husband got a Mac, and he was like, here, try this GarageBand. I was like, eh. Yes. Tried it out. It was very, like, intuitive and made sense, you know, so I used it, and then eventually ended up starting using Logic. It was right, real smooth transition to go to Logic, but you're right. It is the pro version of garage.
Okay, band. Okay. So so Dawes obviously making electronic music, but you also play instruments. And so when you're going to compose for a film or TV project, I guess that might factor into the financials too, is whether or not you're going to make it digitally or live,
exactly.
Or, right? Okay.
Exactly.
Do you have a preference?
Oh, man. I mean, being somebody that's an instrument player, you know, of course I'm going to be advocate for that side. Mm-hmm. But I love the mix. I love hip hop. I love, I come from like, really just listening to rap all day and stuff. So it's like a lot of the production technique inside of that genre intrigues me as it relates to creating it for the that's why I mess with so many genres as it is. And,
yes.
Composing those two different things, I like mixing them. I'll say that.
I love it. Sister Brunch could use a little jingle.
I got
I'm just
you.
Saying, like, right?
You can make one up right
really?
Now.
Really? Let's do it. Yes. Yes. I love that. I love that. All right. So it is time for our signature Sister Brunch question.
Okay.
So you and your younger self are sitting down to a Sister Brunch. Sister Brunch came up because we, black women, black and brown women mentors used to take their mentees out for brunches. It was part of the DGA training program. And they eventually started opening it up to more people. I went to one, and then I was talking to, and sitting there with all these brilliant, amazing, talented, experienced people that the industry kept saying they can't find or that aren't qualified enough. I was like, we have to share these stories. So this is how we came with Sister Brunch. And so we want to know you and your younger self. She can be whatever age you want. You're sitting down to a Sister Brunch, and what are you both eating? What are you both drinking? And then what do you tell her?
Right then, I'm vegan now.
Okay, me too, yes.
I probably would have ate some crab legs. We probably would have been tanned some crab legs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Probably would have been drinking some orange high C.
Okay.
Or some high sea fruit punch.
Yes.
Or a mixture.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's tough. You might have, I'll take it back. We probably was eating some lemon pepper wings or something. We was probably at American Deli. This is real honest. Okay, this is the truth.
Okay, where?
American Deli.
Where's that?
American Deli is a wing place in Atlanta.
Nice. Okay. What kind are they? Can you order different kinds of wings or is it?
You can get all sorts of wings, but
do you have the same favorite flavor now? Because there's some okay vegan wings out there. They're not perfect, but you can get the flavors right, right?
Right. You gotta get it right. I'm still lemon pepper or hot wing.
Mm-hmm.
Hot wing out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do take drums though, but I also will eat some flats. Anyway, back to our
Okay. So high C mixture of orange and fruit punch.
Mm-hmm.
Some wings.
Yeah. And you said what we were talking about?
Yeah. What do you tell her?
Oh, man. You were right. Keep going. You are correct. It's not going to be as hard as it's going to look like it is. Like, it's really difficult. But everything that's difficult, you're going to get through all that stuff.
I love it. I'm realizing we have not done this enough, but is there anything that you want to make sure our listeners and viewers know, that anything you have coming up? Certainly, we're going to get you an agent. So there's one, right? Hire Marie Douglas as your composer, a freelancer available. But anything else you'd like to plug?
Plug? No, I don't know how to say. I'm not good at promoting myself like that in that kind of way.
Okay, that's why we're here, though. This is why we do this. All right, we will spread the word. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm just continuing to work on projects and, making music. Definitely looking to work with some artists and things like that.
Okay.
Anybody looking to experiment, work with some acoustic instruments, do some cool, fusion jive? hit me up. But I'm grateful to be here, and I'm, you know, big up to this place, you know. Big up to Sister Brunch. I can't wait to, you know, delve deeper, hopefully, and, you know.
Yes, yes. We'll do in-person gatherings. Oh, yeah. You got to come hang out with us. Really, this is your community now. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That. It was such a pleasure meeting you, our second composer. We are apologize to Mark Holly. We love you, but also it's been too long, and now we have a new one to really like uplift and now be part of this community. So we're so grateful to you.
I'm grateful, I'll definitely recommend some folks too, so that we can keep having Black women composers sitting in this chair.
Yes, definitely. All right. Sister Brunch is recorded on the unceded territory of the Tongva and the Chumash peoples in Los Angeles in this beautiful studio in Hollywood, Black-owned. You podcasters, check them out. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing and watching. Joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/sisterbrunch, contributing at givebutter.com/sisterbrunch, and joining our community and uplifting our guests. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.